So let's go. We're going to talk about living a worried-free life through using the power of our prayer life. And we're going to talk about, you know, how to alleviate yourself from a worried mind, how to alleviate yourself, or how to live without worry, to live without a worried mind. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We're going to read the Amplified Classical Edition. And I would urge you, if you're watching, I want you to send a message. My wife is going to be there answering some messages. And send your prayer requests, whatever you want to believe God for. We're going to believe with you at the end of this session. We'll pray with you as well if someone's sick. We're not going to mention the whole name, but we'll mention maybe one name of someone, says some people don't like to be identified. But we'll just mention that someone there and needs prayer for certain things. So we're going to agree with you. The Bible said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, Matthew 18 and 19, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. So you send your prayer requests. I'll agree. Our staff is going to agree here in the studio. And we're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And God will grant you your need according to the Word of God. Okay? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, classical edition of the Amplified Bible. He says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So you also see that in the psalmist wrote in Psalm 55:22. You'll see that also rendered to us. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall or fail. This is Psalm 55, verse 22. A lot of people have a burden at this moment. God wants you to be free. So our idea and the message we want to get across to you today for this teaching is that you need to cast your burden upon the Lord. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be worry-free. He wants you to be stress-free. He wants you to live an anxiety-free life. He wants you to be at peace. God wants you to be completely at peace. So that's the idea we want to tell you tonight, that God wants you to be completely at peace and worry-free with no anxieties. So let's talk a little bit more here about our introduction. Many people are affected by stresses of various kinds in life. You know, stress causes many extra troubles for people, and including physical sickness, mental health situations, that are, that are maybe even if you had mental health situation, it just makes it more complex, more difficult. It also can lead to different issues like missing work and you having financial difficulties because of it. And when you're having mental health issues, you cannot work, you cannot do the things that you need to do. You cannot enjoy life like you should be. And there's a lot of people, I heard statistics, you know, I worked in the field of social services field for many years, and still do, not exactly right just in the social area, but working with social in the society here, that, you know, 90% I heard of illnesses are caused by having worries, being stressed out in life, and they cause other illnesses, related illnesses such as cancer and, heart troubles, and mental health issues. And so worry is a huge area in life, and you need to learn how to handle worry, and particularly at this time, you know, of the season, there's a lot of stuff going on. People are having issues, with their health and so on, and worried about life and what's happening next, and even worrying about the end of the world. And there's this, people ask me, is this the end of the world? And those are very legitimate questions for people to have, and it's nothing to laugh about. People have these questions because there is an end of the world, and people are living like there's no end to it. They're living like they're going to be young forever. They live like they're going to have their health forever. They're living like they're never going to have a trouble and trial. But Jesus said there will be troubles and there'll be trials. You know, and so he stressed the fact that we need to build a foundation on the Word of God. And so that you, my friend, you need to build a word or at least a foundation on God's word. So the purpose of learning to cast your care upon God is to be worry-free, to be burden-free. And so when you have worries, you need to learn how to pray properly. If you understand prayer, that's communication with God and talking to God and learning how to come to God, you know, in a way that you understand that will be helpful to you. And some people don't know how to lift a care to God. So they're constantly having to strive within themselves to how to release the care. There is a way to release the care to the Lord and let God have it, and you not worry about it at night when you go to sleep. And you know, all of us have been attacked in various ways throughout life sometimes more to than other days. And so God doesn't want you to have any kind of anxiety, worry, care, burden, or any of that thing. So many live with worries. Worry is a very difficult thing to handle for most people. While there are many kinds of things to be worried about or fearful about, and God still tells us not to worry. There's a whole pile of things you can be scared about, be worried, be afraid of, have anxieties and be burdened about over things. But God still tells you, even that they're there, He tells you not to worry. And you need to learn to take God at His word. It says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, I'm reading the Amplified Classical. He says, "Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink, have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? So people are worried about, you know, these are just natural things. These are food and supplies. You know, when I was in college teaching, we talk about different theories, different psychological theories that tell us that, you know, we need a balance in life. And if you don't have your basic needs met, Maslow actually talks about that, this psychologist. He talked about, you know, learning to have meaning in life. And one of the things, if you're going to achieve in life and be successful, you're going to have your basic needs that met, like living, learning to have your physical needs met, having shelter and a place to stay and being warm and eat and those kind of things. We need to have those basic things. And if you don't have the basic things, you're not going to survive. If you need shelter and you're living outside, you get freeze and die of exposure. People die of malnutrition when there's plenty to eat in society. And so different ones have different kinds of problems. So here in Matthew 6:33, Jesus is talking about those basic needs that some people worry about every day, like eating. How much, many of us even eat too much, but there's people who are worried about meeting the basic needs of having food on the table for their children. Some people have problems with just having a place, finding a place to sleep. And Jesus is talking about very basic needs in Matthew 6:33. And if you go and read the chapter, you find out that God says all these things everyone in the world worries about. But God is going to take care of you, He says. If you go to Him. So God cares for every one of our needs, and He'll take care of us no matter what we face in this life, including this COVID-19 and all the precautions we're taking and all the current situations that people are facing this moment. You can be carefree even in the middle of these situations tonight. You can go to bed tonight and to be without worry from all these basic things that people worry about. Jesus said all these things that people worry about, He said, I'm going to take care of it, make sure that you're going to have your needs met. He cares for all of our needs. So let us learn to leave our cares with God. You know, there's people that have cares and worries in their hearts, but they go around carrying these things. They go to prayer and they say, God, take this. I'm worried about this and concerned about that. And they never seem to get rid of it. They have the same thing that they've been talking about for months or weeks, even years sometimes. And what they've been worried about you know, they never seem to have a problem with it. And they don't necessarily, they shouldn't have been worried about it in the first place. So when we come to God, we need to know that we can leave our cares with God. We can leave our cares with Him. And so let's look at some of these. So most people take their issues to God, but only take it right back after they prayed about it. They cancel out their prayers by ignorantly complaining and speaking negatively about their present situations and what they just gave up to God, apparently. The Apostle Peter said, cast all your cares on the Lord, in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast, meaning just throw it upon God. God wants you to throw whatever you have, you know, just cast it on the Lord. Let Him take care of it. So there's people who go to prayer and they ask God to take their cares, take their worries, take their burdens, and then suddenly they take it all back again. And that's not the right thing to do. So if you are praying for something or praying about something and you take it to God in prayer, and then after your prayer, you go out there and the first person you met, you know, in public, ask you how things are going, then you start fussing about it, then you begin to complain about it, then you talk worried words, and you spread all this stuff, and pretty soon you cancel your prayer. So people don't understand that they're nullifying their own prayer, and they become ineffective in learning to cast their cares upon the Lord. And so 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, casting your cares upon the Lord. God wants you to cast it on the Lord. You know, sometimes in families, people are fighting, you know, they said, you don't earn enough money, you're not doing enough and doing this. So they're looking to each other and causing a whole lot of stress during this particular time. No, that's exactly what you're playing right into the devil's hands. He wants you to fight with each other inside the family because you're looking to human strength to solve your situation. You know, we need, during this time, we need to learn how to lean on God and begin to support one another instead of fighting with each other and causing some more trouble, causing some more division, and so that you cannot agree with your wife or your children in prayer about certain things because you've been divided. Exactly what the devil wants. You're playing right into the devil's hands by complaining and fighting with each other. You need to learn to forgive and say, forgive me for fighting. I didn't mean to say those things. And I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray and believe God about the situation. Learn to put God to work in your life. So Jesus said to his disciples, do not be overly anxious about anything in the natural life. In Matthew 6:25, the Amplified Version. Let's go read it here again. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, about your body, what you shall put on. Is life greater in quality than food, and the body more above and more excellent than clothing? Matthew 6:25. Casting all your cares, as I mentioned, means casting everything on the Lord. Casting all means casting everything on the Lord. Everything, spirit, soul, body issues. Natural issues, spiritual issues. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all. What does all mean? It means everything. Everything you worry about. Everything you're concerned about. God doesn't want you to have one worry. He doesn't want you to carry one thing. He wants you to cast your cares upon Him because He's God Almighty. And He already knows how to fix that situation. And you say, well, how is He going to do it? I don't know how He's going to do it. He said He's going to do it. I believe that He's going to do it because He's done it for many people like myself and yourself. You got to go and remember what He's done before. The Bible says you do this one time, casting all your cares upon Him once. And you don't just go back. If you go to your prayer closet, say, for instance, and you pray, it says, God, I got this concern about this, you know, financial issue or this physical burden I have, this physical sickness. And I'm casting it upon You. And then after that prayer time, you start thinking negatively. Not only start thinking negatively, then you start talking bad. You start thinking thinking bad and talking bad, and then you're going to get wrong results. So after your prayer, you got to start thinking right, renewing your mind in the Word of God. Start thinking about what God said about your situation. And then stop talking negatively. So you are to stop fretting about things. Stop complaining about things. As long as you continue to fret, you have to worry. As long as you're going to complain about it, as long as you're going to talk about the issue over and over and over, if you talk to the same people or different people about the same issue, then you still have the worry. You know, when you stop talking about it and actually give it to God, you're not going to talk about it anymore. You're going to talk about what God's doing in your life. It just shows you that you haven't cast your care upon the Lord like you should be. So you have to do this one time. Instead of asking God again and again, you need to praise Him and say, thank God I gave that to the Lord. He's taking care of it right now. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to go to sleep. I thank God right now. And if you saw your wife after your prayer, say, you know, Lord, honey, thank God He's taking care of all my needs. You know that sickness I got? Well, the Lord says, by His stripes I'm healed. I believe that word. Praise God. And if you got no job right now, say, you know what? The Lord will create a job for me. He'll make a company exist in this place or find a place for me to work because He cares about me. And a lot of people can't do that because they don't believe the Word of God. They don't believe that God actually hears them. So you got to believe that He hears you at least. And then He can do something about it. So don't fret about things. The hardest thing anybody can do in life is learn to do what I'm telling you to do. Is take your burden to God, tell Him about it, leave it there, be quiet about it. Instead of fretting and complaining, is learn to give God praise by the way you talk and telling somebody positively that God has taken care of your need, even when it's not even answered yet in the natural, even when you don't see the answer right now. Why do you do that? Because you know what God says, that He supplies your needs, that He's your healer, that these things are coming in, that everything you want in life, that God has already made provision for. So I was listening to one man of God that I admired all throughout my entire spiritual life. He said, the hardest thing you can do for any Christian, particularly the Christians he's talking about, anybody that's in a Christian church, is to leave the burdens there to the Lord and not take it back. So you need to learn how to do that and discipline yourself. And the Bible tells you what to do after you cast your cares on the Lord. Matthew 6:24 again. Do not worry about anxious about tomorrow. Verse 34. It says, Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for this day is its own troubles. So not only will you have worries today, but there's going to be new worries popping out tomorrow. You know, something happens. So you got to learn to roll these off on the Lord. You got to learn to live this way because, you know, you throw something on God, on the Lord, and all of a sudden something else happens that you have to do it again. Do it again one more time if a new worry comes. That's the only time that you go back to God and tell Him about worry is when a new thing happens. If a worry comes to your mind, you say, thank God He's taking care of it. Thank God I don't have it. Thank God I want to praise You, Father. You see me right now that I gave You that care. You have it. And I'm going to live like it's so. I'm going to walk like around like it's You already answered my prayer. And the answer is there. The answer is coming. I can't see it. I can't feel it. But I know it's coming because You're a faithful God. This is what you got to do. And whenever you see somebody, don't talk about the issue again. Don't bring it up again. What you need to bring up is bring up the fact that God will answer your prayer. And God has answered your prayer. And God has met your need. Talk like it's so. And the answer will come. Most people will talk negatively again about their situation. So Paul had many, many troubles in his life. If you read up in 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, he suffered all kinds of issues in his life. And then on top of that, he worried about the churches that he had concern for. And he knew that he had to cast his care. In Philippians 4:6, he said, I cast all these cares upon the Lord. And if you learn to do that, you'll be worry-free. And he says, don't worry about anything, but pray about them. Pray about them, Philippians 4:6, the New Living says, pray about them, and God, you know, he knows what you need, and he'll meet your need. So we need to learn how to pray the prayer of thanksgiving to God during these difficult times when you're worried. Learn to offer praise. Praise is a powerful weapon during difficult seasons in life. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that when Israel had troubles, you know, Israel is a type of Christian individual. Israel is a type of church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, you say, well, how do you know? The Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us so in Romans and Corinthians that we're, you know, Israel is an example to the church, that we should do like they did, and that is offer up praises and thanksgiving right in the middle of difficulties, right in the middle of trials. I learned to do this years ago. When I had troubles and trials, I'd go to the bathroom, like my minister would say to me, just go to the bathroom if you're in a public place and start praising God. Lift your hands up in the air and thank God. Now you can just do that anywhere, because there's people that just do anything anywhere anyway. So I just lift up my hand when I'm driving my car, say, thank God you've met all my needs. Or even in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping, I just lift up both hands sometimes, say, thank God, I want to thank you right now. You're taking care of all my needs. I don't have a care in the world. I make myself do it. I discipline myself to say it. I discipline myself to offer a prayer of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hebrews talks about that, and I believe it's in the 15th chapter, 13th verse. To offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That means you're going to praise God even if you don't want to, even if your mind doesn't agree with it, even if your feelings doesn't agree. You do it by faith, and God honors faith. So don't listen to what you think about. Don't listen to what you think about. Listen to what God says to think about. Don't listen to your feelings or emotions, because they go up and down, up and down, up and down. Listen to God, His Word, act on His Word, and be stable in the Word of God. Hallelujah. You stand on the Word of God no matter what happens, and you begin to thank God. You say, I don't have a care in the world, and laugh about it. Ha, 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 thank God. Amen. So offer a prayer of thanksgiving during a difficult time. Especially when you're worried about things. Learn to praise God. Use the weapon of praise. Here, over here in Philippians 4:6, let's go ahead and read. Don't worry about anything, Paul says. You know, he had a lot of worries. As I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. If you read that, read it in a different version, you see how much problems he had. I'm just going to just itemize. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and 28, Paul said he was in prison. He was whipped. He faced death. He was given 39 lashes five different times. He was beaten and stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was spent a whole night adrift at sea. How would you like to be adrift at sea with nothing to look forward to? He was on long journeys and faced all kinds of dangers from robbers, from different kinds of pirates, I guess. Faced danger of his own people who want to assault him, from his own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles who were persecuting him, who were after him. He said, I faced dangers in the city, in the deserts, in the sea. I faced dangers from men who claim to be believers. You know, some people claim to be believers, but they come and attack you after a while. So one of the hardest things you can learn in the Christian life is to be with Christians, and then you help them out, and then they assault you and criticize you. I've had that happen to me many times, you know, and it shocked me. And I thought, man, I thought we'd find lots of wonderful people in church. And sometimes you'll find some of the most meanest people in church, because they're sent there so that we can teach them a lesson about the Word of God. And so never be surprised in your church or in your congregation or sometimes your friendships around in the Christian world, that some of them are just as mean as the people in the world. Why? Because they have not been renewed in the word of faith. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, to renew your mind and to learn how to make decisions in the word of God. And so, you know, if your mind is not renewed, you're going to think squirrely just like you did before you're saved. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to be automatically grown up either. It takes time to grow in the Christian life. It takes years sometimes to develop. A lot of people think, I should tell about my story now. I've been sober 6 months. I've been saved for about a year, and I can go on tour and tell about what God. Well, no, you need to grow up in the church and help pick up a broom and help out in the church and learn how to serve God. And so during all the difficult times. So he said he had many sleepless nights. He was hungry, thirsty, often gone without food, shivered in the cold, with nothing to keep him warm. And he said then he had these daily concerns about the churches in 1 Corinthians 11:28. So Paul had all these worries, and here he's writing a letter from jail in Philippians 4:6. You know, how many people write a letter from jail and tell people, rejoice! Have a great time, rejoice, give your cares to God. And this guy's in jail. Over here in Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. All at the same time. Don't worry about anything. That's a command. It's not something that he says, don't worry about anything if your troubles are not too heavy or too difficult. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't worry about anything, period. He said, instead of worry, pray about everything. In other words, take everything to God. Tell him what you need. Talk to God. Say, Father, I have this concern. I'm worried about this situation, and I want to give it to you because I don't know how to handle it. That's what you need to do. Tell him what you need. Although, people say, well, I don't have to say anything to God. He knows what I need. No, the Bible says you need to tell him what you need. That's what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. Although God knows everything about your needs, Matthew 6:8, I believe it says there, he knows everything about your needs, all your concerns. You still have to talk to him. You still have to tell him. Why? Because it's a faith thing. You got to talk to God, the person you can't see and feel there. Tell him what you need. Throw it upon the Lord and believe he cares for you. Thank him. Then you thank him for all he's done by faith. Say, Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for all the things that you've done in my life. Look at over here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, New Living Translation. He said, I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. This is 1 Timothy 2:1. No, we need to learn how to pray for people, not only for our own needs. You know, the first thing we do a lot of times is pray for our own needs. But the Bible says if you learn to take your cares and pray for other people first, God will take care of you. You know, the Bible talks about that when you pray for other people, that the very thing you pray for other people, God will do for you. That's how God is. That's how he keeps us together, is learning to care for one another. So he'll work it all out. Psalm 138, verse 8 says this, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You know, whatever you have, whatever concerns in your life, whatever concerns, whatever worries you have, God says, I'm going to make that thing happen, whatever it is you need to happen for your life. He'll perfect, he'll make his will, his plan, his perfect plan for you to work out. The Bible says that Lord will work out his plan. Let's go over here. It says, Psalm 138, King James says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The New Living says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. That's what the New Living Translation says of Psalm 138, verse 8. Say that right now, wherever you are. Say, the Lord will work out everything in my life. You need to say that right now, wherever you are at home. To say to yourself, maybe quietly if you're with other people, if you need to say, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. Say that to yourself. Go to bed at night. I want you to go to bed tonight. Say, thank God he's working out everything, all the plans for my life to make it good in my life. Say that to yourself. So when you've done that, Psalm 112, verse 7 says, people who do stuff like this, walk with God, they do not fear any bad news. Why? Because they've given their life over to God. They've given their care over to God. And when you do that, God, you're in God's hands, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of all of your needs. It says over here, Psalm 112, verse 7, New Living Translation, for they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. To care for them. Confidently. Confidently talks about being in faith. You cannot be confident in someone unless you have faith in somebody. So when you have faith in somebody, you'll not be worried. And that's talking about God. Notice over here that no evil will come upon you. Psalm 91, verse 9 to 11, and verse 14 and 15 says, 9 to 11 says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near you. That's any contagious disease. Another translation, no contagious disease will come near me. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. If you're walking down Walmart, you're going to believe the angel is going to be there to protect you from any kind of germ. You got to believe that. God has that ability. He'll do it. You know, we use sanitizer. Thank God for sanitizers. But God has a sanitizer working for you right now in the form of a heavenly being called an angel, praise God. No one can spit on you and cause you to be sick. We don't want to, you know, there was a joke about, you know, there's a song, I just downloaded a song called Speaking Moistly from the Prime Minister. It's actually on iTunes. I guess it's they made a song about it. You know, the Prime Minister said something to people, because when you speak, you have spittles going all the time. Everybody has spittles going all the time. So you know, you're protected by people. So kind of a funny thing, but we laugh about different things, but God has us covered, man. Praise God. Amen. You got to believe that. No plague will come near you. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you wherever you go. Let's go to verse 14, 15. The Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. When they call upon me, I will answer. I'll be with them in trouble. I'll be with them in trouble. I'll rescue them and honor them. In verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. If you do these things, you're not going to die early. You're going to live long life. You believe that verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. So don't worry about dying young or mid-age or whatever. Live out to be old. The Bible says, you know, in Psalms 90, verse 10, I think it is there, he says that we have at least 70 or 80 years. Everybody has it, whether you're born again or not, whether you're a child of God or not, everybody can live 70 or 80 years. And if you can, you can believe longer. The Bible says 120 over in Genesis. If you can believe that, some people can't believe it. Some people can believe it to be 90. It's up to you. Praise God. Learn to believe where you can believe. Learn to live as long as you can. It's funny when people are healthy, they don't want to die. They want to live as long as they can. God is going to watch over you. He'll watch over your life. And I'm going to summate this, summarize this thing by giving you some things, how to give your care to God. I want to give you six things that you can do to how to give your care to God. And we're going to close. You know, the Bible says the devil is looking for an opportunity to attack you over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go read that, then we go into the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. The Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. Be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams about like a lion, roaring in fierce anger, seeking someone to seize upon and to devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. After you have suffered a little while, we don't like that sometimes, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground and securely and strengthen and settle you. See, the devil wants to attack you, and he'll attack you if you allow him by speaking. When you speak negatively, you open the door to the enemy. When you worry, you open the door for the worry of fear to come in your life and attack your life. Worry is an enemy. Worry is also a spirit, not just a mental situation. There's a spirit, you know, the Bible talks about different places, and, you know, in the scripture where it talks about worry, you know, is an enemy. It's there. It wants to attack your life, but you got to withstand that enemy. You can stand against the enemy. So I want to give you six things you can do to help you at this time, how to give your cares to God. First of all, number one, ask yourself, whenever you face a trial, whenever you encounter a trial, what does God's word say about my situation? What does God say? What does God say about my situation? That's what the first thing you have to do. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, the word of God says, then the Lord said to me, or talking, Jeremiah is talking, thou hast well seen, I will hasten my word to perform it. God says, I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, I'll be quick to respond, to answer my word wherever the word is sent. Make sure you got God's word, because God will watch over his word. He and his word are one. He will always, you know, fulfill his word. We read that in the other psalm earlier. The second thing you need to do, find a scripture that would answer to your situation. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing. So if you can find a scripture that answers your area of problem, that's the first thing you need to do. If you can find the scripture, you will have faith. You'll have foundation in terms of knowing that God will solve that situation for you. You know, God is wonderful. You know, one time I was worried about some situation, and the Bible talks about that he, you know, in Romans chapter 8, that the Lord, you know, he himself will answer the situation, and he'll be the one there that'll help you. Now let's go to the third thing. The third thing you need to do is meditate on those scriptures, on the scripture you just found. Meditate on those scriptures. In other words, think about it. Talk about it to yourself. Repeat it to yourself. Speak to yourself about it. Softly during the nighttime, during the daytime, talk to yourself about it. When you're driving your car, when you're going for a walk, just say, this is what God's word says. Say this to yourself. Meditate on the scripture. Tell yourself, this is what God's word says. And make a positive confession regarding that. You say, this is what God's word says. I thank God. He's answered my problem, situation. He's taken care of it. I thank God for it. Over in Philippians 4, 6, the last sentence of that verse 6 says, think on these things. You know, when you're thinking about things long enough, you're actually meditating on something, whether it's negative or positively. And Paul says to meditate on the positive things in life. So meditate on the positive things, especially if you get enough scriptures that you can think upon, feed upon. Joshua 1:8 talks about, you know, Paul tells Joshua, you know, be courageous, don't be fearful, and think about these things, meditate on them, meditate on my word day and night. Do this regularly and you will be free. Number four, tell God you're releasing your situation to him based on his word. For God says that he knows about everything. Matthew 6, 8 says this, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask him. See, God knows everything about your life, but he still requires you to come to him, to talk to him. You need to learn how to be humble. You need to learn how to talk to God and believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them who will diligently seek him. Tell God, come to him and say, God, this is my problem, and I want you to have it. I'm not going to have it anymore. I'm not going to worry about it anymore because you got it. And when that problem comes back, you say, no, God has it. Talk to the devil. God has that. He's taking care of it. He's answering my situation, and you'll see about it. Sometimes I say, as sure as I'm sitting here, God has my problem. As sure as I'm sitting here, my problem is solved. I talk to God. I speak to things. I speak to mountains. I speak to different things. As sure as that building is there, I tell you what, it's going to happen. So you need to talk to your situation. So tell God about your situation and speak a good word about it. Number five, thank God and stand on the promises. Stand on His promise that you're basing your word, that basing your life on. Praise God. You know, someone said, praise is the highest form of faith. Why is that highest form of faith? Because you're praising God and thanking Him when you don't feel anything, when you don't see anything. That's high form of faith. Lifting your hands to a God you can't see. Talking to a God you can't see. You're doing it because of the Word says. You're lifting your hands and saying, Father, I want to thank You now that You're taking care of my situation. I want to praise You. I want to announce all the devils and demons and the devil himself. If he's listening, if he's here, I want to tell him and all the angels that are here that God has taken care of all my needs. Hallelujah. And I'm telling myself that You've taken care of my need. And every time a troubles situation comes up, and you say it again, you do it again. Say, thank God You've taken care of my need. Don't pray about the same thing again. Just go ahead and give praise. So, thank God and stand on the promises. Philippians 4:6 says that you do it with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everybody say, with thanksgiving. Say, with thanksgiving. In other words, when you're giving God your care, with thanksgiving, you can say, thank God You've taken care of it. Amen? That's what you're going to do. He said, let your request be made unto God. Notice this. I want you to talk to some of you out there that is always asking somebody to pray for them. You're on Facebook all the time asking, pray for me, pray for that. No, you know what? You're in disobedience, some of you. You need to learn how to sit down in church and learn the Word of God for yourself and stop going around being a bother to people, telling people about your personal situation, which you should be taking care of, which you should be learning on your own, because notice what it says over here, what God's Word says. Philippians 4:6, He says there, let your request be made unto the Lord. He didn't say to me to take your request to God. He says, you take your request. I take my request to God. Everybody is responsible for their own, and so there's a lot of people, they're depending on everybody else for their prayer life, when they should be taking responsibility for their own spirituality, for their own life. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you and shake you up. If you're falling asleep spiritually, shake you up and say, listen, you need to take care of that yourself. But nobody cares more about your problem than you do. So, you know, some of you ought to have been listening when I've been teaching here. We are here every Wednesday night. I've been doing this for years, and some of you still don't come. And now some of you are worried when you should have been following what I've been telling you. I tell you, the people that have been in church all those years, they're telling me, man, they're having a great time. God's helping them out. They believe the Word of God. And they say, Pastor, we're having a great time. But there's still some people that just don't have that faith in them because they haven't been there when God told me to have a Wednesday night service and to teach for the people, and you don't show up, it's your problem. Learn to get back to God. And take your request. Learn to do this for yourself. Because no one's going to do it for you. You might tell me to pray and somebody else, but they might not do it. Think about it ever again. So, take your request. Make your request to the Lord. Philippians 4:6, the last section. Make your request known to the Lord. So, take a stand on it and continue to give God praise. That was just extra. Number six, every time you think of it, or the problem, when you get attacked in your mind and your emotions by the devil, stand until the answer comes. Just continue to make a stand. Be dogged about it. I'm standing in the name of Jesus. No, you're not standing on your own strength. You're standing in the strength of God. He'll help you out. You're not doing it mentally. You're not doing it emotionally. You're doing it spiritually. This is not mental exercises alone. This is not physical exercise. This is spiritual exercise. Make it is stand on the inside of you. I'm standing on the Word of God. Amen? And the Bible says, Ephesians 6:13, Wherefore, take unto you, just talking about spiritual warfare, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The armor of God refers to the actions that you take in the Word, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, that's when you're attacked, having done all to stand. The Bible wants you to stand. Let me just mention it one more time as we close. Ask yourself, number one, what does God's Word say about it? Number two, find a scripture that covers your case. Number three, meditate on the Word and make a good confession. Number four, tell God that you're releasing, tell God you're releasing this to Him. Number five, thank God and stand on the promises of God. And number six, whenever you get attacked against the devil, continue to stand until the answer comes. Let me pray with you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Let's pray the prayer of releasing our cares on the Lord. This is the prayer that releases stress in your life. I want you to, wherever you are, whatever care, little care, small care, big care, whatever it is, physical care, health care, financial care, worries, whatever it is you got, begin to lift your hands and say, Father, say this, say, Father, thank you that you're my Father. I thank you that you've taken care of all of my needs. I lift my burden to you. I lift my care to you. I lift my worry to you. I'm giving you my situation. I'm giving you my life again as well. I'm giving my life to you and all that concerns me right now. In the name of Jesus, I will not worry about one thing in my life. I'm not going to have any anxieties, any worries, any concerns because I'm casting it all on you. I thank you, God, that you have it. And I will not take it back when I leave this prayer time. And every time I think about it, I'm going to lift up my hands and say to you, Father, thank you that you've answered my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God that you've listened to the Word of God tonight. I believe that many of you have released the care, worry, and burdens. I want to pray for you right now, those of you that have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you've never had a chance to make Jesus your Lord, I want you to say this prayer. I said this prayer many, many years ago by watching a Billy Graham telecast. Say this prayer. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and He is the Savior of the world. I believe you sent Him here to die for my sins. I believe that He went on that cross and died, became a sacrifice for my sins. He died and went to the lower regions for me. And I believe that He was raised the third day and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe that in my heart and I confess it with my mouth. And therefore, now I am born again. I am your child. And if you've been a Christian who's been away from God, just bow your head and say, Father, thank you. Forgive me for sinning and walking away from you. Receive me back in the kingdom. You said in your word that if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive my all my sins, and you'll wash me clean. Thank you, Father, for receiving me back in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, God, for that. We want to pray for you right now that if you have any concerns physically, I want to pray for you physically right now. If you got concerns physically in your body, I want to pray for your healing right now. Father, I stretch my hand towards that believer in the name of Jesus. We in this studio right now, all the staff is believing God with that person. You said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. So we lift our hands towards those people wherever they are at home. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing in your body. We rebuke sickness. Sickness, leave that body. Leave that body part in the name of Jesus right now. And we release the anointing of God by faith into that body where they're hurting. In the name of Jesus, lift up every mental stress and trial that's come to their mind where the devil has attacked them. And we pray for the peace of God and the healing of God to be ministered to them by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God. And I believe for every one of your needs. Father, I pray for the finances that need to come to those homes, to those families. I rebuke the spirit of poverty. I break the spirit of poverty in their lives. According to, you said in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, that poverty is a curse. And we bind that spirit that's working there. And we pray in the name of Jesus against it. We lift it out of there and we release the prosperity of God. We pray the blessing of God that was given to Abraham, the blessing of God. We agree with the blessing of God, favor of God, to come their way so that they'll have enough, more than enough, to meet every one of their needs and to also be a blessing, as you said in the 12th chapter Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3, that there'll be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching this telecast, this live stream. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are, we love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. We see you Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen.